Blog Talk Radio.
Make no difference what you're going through. You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. This is another test. He won't let go away.
He got a blessing with your name on it. You won't have to claim it now. It's yours. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, we are happy to have each and every one of you all. Normally, I ask people before, but I'm going to see if Evangelist Renee will give us a word of prayer and also pray for Pastor. She's with her daughter. I'm not sure all the circumstances, but anyway, we want to pray for Pastor and her daughter. I'm going to ask Evangelist Renee if she'll just bless us with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into today's lesson. Evangelist Renee.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Here we pray. Father, which art in heaven, we come before you this afternoon with thanksgiving in our hearts, dear Lord. Thank you for blessing us to see one more day, dear Lord. You didn't have to. It surely wasn't because we were so good. It was your grace and your mercy. And I want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all your many blessings, from the biggest to the smallest, dear Lord. Just keep your loving arms around us. Be a fence around the program. No negativity allowed in. Nothing but talking about your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for all your many blessings, dear Lord. We ask that you will bless the sick and the shut-in and the bereaved families. We also ask that you will bless the people in the White House, people running the country, that they will do the right things, dear Lord. Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Renee. So good to hear you, and thank you so much again. And we want to continue to pray for Pastor Bill on her journey today. And, hey, we're going to get into this lesson, bless God. We're talking about ways to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. One of our foundational scripture will be found in the Gospel of St. John, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. St. John 4, verses 23. And we're going to cover a lot of scriptures sometime this week, but I do want to unpack this as our foundational scripture, if you will. May I ask Sister William, if she'd be so kind to read it from the King James Version.
John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Amen, amen. And the, in the Messenger Bible, I can get this to act right here on the computer. Okay. In the Messenger Bible, I think I'm going to have to just start with the 23rd verse. It reads like this. It says, it's who you are and the way you live that counts before God. Okay, there you go. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. It is who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That kind of people the Father is look out looking for those who are simply honest themselves before him in their worship. God is cheer being itself spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirit, their true selves in adoration. Hallelujah. God
Amen.
Is his spirit, and they that worship him must, it's a must, absolute must, worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me begin by saying the time is coming, indeed, he says, and it is now, right now, brothers and sisters, when the true worshipers, not any kind of worshipers, but true worshipers, and that may be the subject this week, true worshipers, because everybody are not true worshipers, and worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. I just think that's awesome when we think about what God is looking for. Why do you think he would be looking for anything? He has an all-seeing eye. But the Bible says he's looking for a special kind of worshipers, those that will worship him in spirit and in truth, not those that will worship him in a building where there's chaos or going to a building where the ushers against the nurses and the choir against the other choir. See, that ain't true. That ain't God's spirit. He's not in confusion. God looking for somebody that's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. As believers, we are called to worship God in spirit and in truth. But you may wonder, how can I worship God daily? How can I worship God at home? How can I worship God wherever I am? I got good news for you. You can, and worship is a powerful spiritual exercise in any believer's life. It plays, believe me when I tell you, it plays a valid role in the Israelites winning their first battle. After they entered the promised land, you recall Joshua 6. Maybe we'll go there for a while. You're here to find Joshua 6 and maybe read about 9 verses. And as you find Joshua, do I like to remind you of what Paul and Silas, remember how they got released from the prison? One prayed and one sang. That was a worship, a form of worship. It reflects thanksgiving. It's a heartfelt, and we're going to get into that. God's people throughout all the 150 Psalms repeatedly allowed them to express their negotiation of what was in them to praise God, to worship him. I just think it's an awesome thing. Have you found Joshua 6, Sister William?
Yes, I found Joshua 6. What verse?
Start with the first verse and read about 9 of them.
Okay, one moment. Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty man of valor. And y'all shall compose the city, and ye men of war, and go round about the city once. thou shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of rams, horns, and the 7 day you shall compass the city 7 times. Priests shall blow with the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed man went before the priest that blew with the trumpet, and the reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpet. Amen.
You see, brothers and sisters, God requires worship from within us. That's what's important. So when he says that, and I like the word he used over there in John 4, adoration. You know, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for people who's going to be worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And I think in the Messenger, it said their true selves in adoration. And when I think about that, I think about what an awesome thing. You know, you're doing it out of love. You're doing it out of what you have for God. Like a hero worship. A welcome, you know, the kind of worship God is looking for is someone who's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's praising, that's respect, that's you know, when you're worshiping God in spirit and truth, there's nothing phony about it. You're not going to be seen. A lot of time I've known people, they'll get their duds on and they get clean and smelling good, wash their car, and they call themselves worshiping God. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's not spirit of God, and it's definitely not true. See, here's the thing you got to understand about truth. And I'm going to take my time to say this, because like I said, there's a whole lot to unpack here. So let me begin by saying, people nowadays, they talk about their truth. And that's true. They have a truth. But it has nothing to do with the truth. See, we got gay pride going on. Well, that's their truth. They feel like they are women's, and men feel like they are women's, and women are feeling like they are men. That's their truth. But it's not the truth. Okay? See, truth, and I'm talking about what is real truth, because you have all kind of truth. You have historical truth. That connects you with the history has. That's historical. We went the other day over in Memphis, Tennessee, and you saw the Lorraine Hotel. That's historical. They made a museum out of that. That's historical truth. But they could change that because they did. Matter of fact, they made a museum. The way you used to go in there, you can't go in there no more. But see, that's not the truth. If the truth, they would have left the walls and certain things, they wouldn't have changed. So historical truth is a truth, but it's not the truth. Then you have what is called pertinent truth. Pertinent truth is something relevant to something. In other words, I'll say church, and you're thinking building, but I'm talking about the Spirit of God. I'm talking about Christ when I talk about church. When I say let's be the church, I'm talking 1 Corinthians 6:19. I'm not talking about a building. So the church can be pertinent because when we're talking about church, a lot of people like to reference to the church as a building, but that's not the truth, brother and sister. The church is a group of baptized believers who has been called out to do God's will. But then we're talking about the truth, the same that Jesus talked about in John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is in the word of God. The truth, the word of God, it will never change, and it will be forever. It will last forever. So when I talk about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, I look no further than John 6:63. I'm going to ask Evangelist Williams if she'll find that. If she'll find St. John 6:63. I'm talking real truth, brothers and sisters. Real truth. Not your truth, not their truth, not my truth. I'm talking about the truth. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for you. He's looking for you to do that. It's bad God got to look for you. You should have your flag. Wait, Lord, here I am. Send me. But over in St. John 6:63, Sister William, you have that one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
John 6:63. It is the spirit that's quickened, the flesh petrifieth. Nothing the word that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
It is the spirit who gives life. It is the spirit who gives life, profit nothing. The words I say, I say, the words I speak to you. This Jesus talking, he said, now the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Thank you so much. Evangelist Williams. John 14:17, even the spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive. Everybody can't receive the spirit of truth. That's why everybody can't worship in spirit and in truth. Because if you're worldly minded, you won't receive the things of the spirit. See? They're foolishness to you. Just let me go ahead and tell you what the scripture says. Over there in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, well, actually, the second chapter, the 13th, 14th, and 15th verse. Matter of fact, read for our hearing. If you'll be so kind to read 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10, 13, 14, and 15.
1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. 13. Which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
Amen. That's pretty clear, brothers and sisters. See, we have the Spirit. The 16th verse is that we have the Spirit of Christ. That's what we have. So because you have that Spirit, You can worship God in spirit and in truth. John 14:17, even the spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive. Isn't that something? If you're worldly minded, you won't be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. You may worship him, but the true worship him in spirit and in truth. And it says, because it sees him not, neither they know him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, when you know that the Spirit of God is living with you on a day-to-day basis, and just don't get it twisted, brothers and sisters, you have to try the Spirit by the Spirit and see if it be of God. And the way you do that is by the Word of God. That's how you try the Spirit. See if what the Spirit is saying to you, it lines up with the Word of God. The Bible says that, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. Now, there are people who want to debate that. They say, oh, well, you know what? It shouldn't be he. Well, the Bible says the Spirit of truth, and it calls him he. How be it with he? You can't change that because you're gay and you don't want that in there. You can't change that because you're a lesbian and you don't want he to be in there. There's enough of that foolishness going on. Want to change the Word of God. No, you can't change truth, brothers and sisters. You know, you can't do it, man. God's looking for people who don't want to change the truth, but want to worship him in spirit and in truth. If we don't get into it today, we'll definitely get into it before this week out, because we need to know what worshiping in truth means, what that really means. In Colossians 2:8, would you like to find that for me, please? Colossians 2:8.
Yes, Pastor. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophic and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Yeah. Thank you. Beware. Pay attention. I mean, I know you see signs say, beware. Beware. You know what that means. That when they get your attention. Every time I see a sign say, beware, well, I'm thinking, what big bulldog or pet bull finna come out? Well, what finna jump? When it says beware, I'm wondering who's finna shoot the shotgun. See? It gets your attention. So God is getting our attention, and he's telling us, if you don't, people will trick you. They will really cheat you out of your salvation through vain philosophy. That's what a lot of churches do today. They just got a lot of vain philosophy and empty deceit according to their tradition. I was sharing this with somebody the other day, and I'm going to leave it here, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. We as a people, we got over here. I mean, do your research. We came over here, and believe it or not, as America, and I'm going to say this, as Black American, I don't preach prejudice or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you, this is our home. Everybody else can leave and go. But if you're from Iraq, you can get mad, you can go on back. You from China, you get mad, you can go on back. We are Black African Americans. We're not African. Because if Africans get mad, they'll go back. They'll go back to Africa. Zimbabwe or somewhere, they'll go. They don't have no problem with it. They from Mexico. They get angry, they can go back. But this is our home. Why is that so? Because that's what our foreparents did. when we came over here, remember what happened. We didn't ask to come over here. They took our language. They took our way of worshiping from us. So we had to start copying things. Whatever we saw them do, we was flying out there in them fields, praising God, because that was spirit and truth. But then we messed around and started being a copycat, mimicking, if you will. We began to mimic other folks. And I don't even have to go there. Other folks. We began to mimic. And that's what they did. They had buildings. So when we look around, we wanted buildings. We were fine praising God. We're the only people that praised God in the ditch and went all the way to the White House. Nobody else did that. Matter of fact, we're the only people that built the White House and then wasn't allowed to sleep in it. And God turned the clock 400 years later, and the same people that they wouldn't let in there became the chief of the White House. People, you can't make this stuff up, man. It's real. Do your homework. Yeah. And God said, don't forget my benefits now. Don't forget what I did for you. A lot of times people have a tendency to forget the things that God did for them. We as a people better get busy trying to worship God in spirit and truth. And let some of this deceit go. Let some of these principles of the world go. Let it go, man. And the things that's not according to Christ. Matter of fact, that's the first step of understanding worship, really. We'll get into that later in the 23rd verse. But we'll come to the place. Anybody like to have anything to say, press 1, and we'll let you in. Hallelujah. Anybody have any questions want to share? Press 1. Hallelujah. Press 1. Hallelujah. If not, we'll pick it up tomorrow. Many ways to worship.